Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, June the 4th. Appreciate you joining us, Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Good to have you. Well, we haven't been together in a while.
A while, I know it. A
week or so ago, you got sick.
That's right, and it's one of those things where I don't even really want to compare to what you went through.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when someone comes back from war, they've been overseas,
right?
And they're talking about how they were, you know, fighting in Afghanistan or something, and then I say, well, yeah, I was behind this real slow poke on the highway, and boy, was my day a bad one.
You know, I understand, but good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
When you're sick, you feel like the world's closing in on you. And Walker Wildman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show with each of you. Good to have the regular panel back.
Tell us what we're doing on that there internet, Walker.
Yeah, on Facebook, YouTube, we are live streaming, so you can watch the show both of those places. Also on Facebook, you can catch the news stories. So if you want to read more into what we're talking about, all the news stories will be posted on Facebook. Lastly, but not leastly, you can download the American Family Radio app on your smartphone and listen anytime and anywhere. So multiple ways via the internet to stay up to date with American Family Radio.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News, is here this morning. We have breaking news, Fred.
We have absolutely breaking news. It's out of the Supreme Court. We were expecting it this month. But here it is, June the 4th, the first Monday of the month, and we have a very key decision. This is the Jack Phillips Masterpiece Cake Shop decision. He is the Colorado baker who was punished for not being willing to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding. The Supreme Court ruling in favor of Jack Phillips this morning by a vote of 7-2. But the earlier reports, and we brought our own expert in, Abe Hamilton is here, is that it's a narrow decision. So, Abe, you've been able to read a bit of this. When they talk about a narrow decision, what does this mean in all of this?
Yeah, first of all, good morning, everybody. This is a big day for religious freedom. The opinion so far, and I'm working my way through it, it's 60 pages. I just got it out, including all of the dissents. The reference to it being a narrow decision isn't based on the vote count. I mean, no. It was voted 7-2. I mean, so you have what's commonly understood as the conservative bloc of the court. They were joined by Justice Stephen Breyer and Justice Elena Kagan in concurring in the conclusion of this case. When describing it as a narrow decision, the court had before it an opportunity to slam the door once and for all on the issue as to whether or not religious freedom would be upheld in every case, in every instance where it is challenged by same-sex marriage. But the court did not go that far. In fact, what I've read so far through the opinion, it gives the indication that Justice Kennedy based the bulk of his reasoning in this opinion on the Colorado Commission's overt hostility towards Christianity, almost giving the indication that if they would have been a little bit more subtle and discreet in their anti-Christian hostility, maybe they could have concluded in their direction. But because the record was so abundantly clear that the commission, even in some instances, mocked the legitimacy of Jack Phillips's faith, that they were duty bound as the high court in the country to rule against them. So on the whole, this is a big day for religious liberty. But at the same time, this isn't as broad a ruling as it could have been if the court were inclined to protect religious liberty across the board.
Now, some of our listeners might not know this, but we're all familiar with the ACLU and all those groups saying the government cannot promote religion. What a lot of our listeners may not know is that the opposite truth is that the Supreme Court has ruled that the government can't be hostile towards religion either. So that is kind of the angle that Kennedy and the others took, is that the Civil Rights Commission in Colorado showed overt hostility to Jack Phillips' religious beliefs. So we and I know there are some other cases that could still settle this issue for the Supreme Court, or could come before the Supreme Court, and declarations could be made, rulings could be made to preserve religious liberty when it comes to same-sex marriage. But this is not that case, although 7-2 in favor of Jack Phillips is a lot better than the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'll give you just a little bit of the understanding from the opinion. So I'll read this from the opinion. It says that Jack Phillips was entitled to a neutral and respectful consideration of his claims in all circumstances of this case. But that consideration was compromised, however, by the commission's treatment of Phillips's case, which showed elements of a clear and impermissible hostility toward the sincere religious beliefs motivating his objection. As the record shows, some of the commissioners at the commission's formal public hearings endorsed the view that religious beliefs cannot legitimately be carried into the public sphere or commercial domain. This disparaged Phillips's faith as despicable and characterized it as merely rhetorical, and compared his invocation of his sincerely held religious beliefs to defenses of slavery and the Holocaust. So the court is basically saying, and I don't want to minimize this too much, so, but to say, Colorado, you were just meanies. You were too mean, and we cannot tolerate your meanness when it comes to religious freedom. And again, I agree with that conclusion. I would have liked it to be broader and more forceful, but I will definitely celebrate this as a victory for religious liberty. And I think some of the broader implications from this is that I think this is an indication that we will see the retirement of Justice Kennedy pretty soon. The fact that he wrote this opinion is in keeping with him wanting to be the vanguard of striking a balance between the promotion of same-sex rights as well as religious freedom. And I think he sees this as his parting message on this issue, as well as some other cases that are expected to be announced in this this session of the court. So I think this is an indication that we will see that. And hopefully his replacement will be somebody who will be far more comfortable upholding the freedom that we have under the First Amendment concerning religious liberty.
Well, this is a day to celebrate.
Yes, it is.
It's a day to celebrate for those of us who believe in religious freedom. And I tell you what, if we'd have lost this one, It'd have been really, really, really bad.
Can you imagine if the Supreme Court had said Colorado is okay in comparing religious belief about marriage to defending slavery? I mean, that would have been...
Or the Holocaust.
Mm. It would have been open season on Christians in governments.
Well, the kind of people that are in control now of these, quote, civil rights commissions across the country at various state levels, various states... They are stacked with people who are hostile to Christianity. They can't stand people like us. We are the enemy. They want to shut us down, and that was apparent by this Colorado Civil Rights Commission. The Supreme Court looked at this. The U.S. Supreme Court looked at this, and as Abe just quoted some of it and paraphrased some of it, they said, and you did too, Ed. They said the U.S. Supreme Court said, you guys are just going after you guys are just going after Jack Phillips because he's a Christian, and you can't do that. That's basically what they're...
That's not an overstatement. That's an accurate statement.
Yeah. And again, remember, folks, Jack Phillips did not decline anyone, homosexuals or otherwise, the right to purchase products in his store. What he said, what they came in to do was, these two men came in to say, will you make us a cake for our wedding ceremony? Jack Phillips said, I can't do that. I am a Christian, and that violates my convictions. Then the couple said, all right, then we're going to take you up to before the Colorado Civil Rights Commission and try to put you out of business, Mr. Phillips. That's what they tried to do. Jack Phillips contacted the Alliance Defending Freedom Organization, which is a group that we are very familiar with and we support. They do pro bono work for Christians. I'm a charter member of their AFA is a charter member of the Alliance Defending Freedom. So this is great news. And maybe it is narrow, but still, as you said, Ed, it could have gone the other way. And for it to go 7-2.
Right.
So I can't remember the last time two liberals sided with the conservatives on anything. Abe, So, yeah. I mean, this is big news. We praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
God.
Amen.
Praise Absolutely. The Lord God Almighty for this, because this is a big deal.
This was pushing the faith in Jesus Christ to the brink in civil society. This is not an overstatement of that. This was a push to the brink. And to your point, Tim, the Supreme Court highlighted the fact that Jack Phillips' willingness to serve everybody, including those who are in same-sex yes. couples, on anything other than marriage, was absolutely ignored by the commission. And the Supreme Court highlighted right. that as a fact that indicated to them that they did not intend to provide an equitable review of the issues at bay that they wanted to.
He was willing to sell them pre-made wedding cakes off the shelf.
Anything in his store.
He said, "I'm just not going to use my creative abilities to fashion a cake for
And that wasn't good enough for these
that
people.
That wasn't good enough.
And the Supreme Court highlighted that.
I'm encouraged by some of the words of Justice Kennedy. You read from that summary, but in his own words, whatever the confluence of speech and free exercise principles might be in some cases, the Colorado Civil Rights Commission's consideration of this case was inconsistent with the state's obligation of religious neutrality. The reason and motive for the baker's refusal were based on his sincere religious beliefs and convictions. When the Colorado Civil Rights Commission considered this case, it did not do so with the religious neutrality that the Constitution requires. Given all these considerations, it is proper to hold that whatever the outcome of some future controversy involving facts similar to these, the Commission's actions here violated the Free Exercise Clause, and its order must be set aside." Mm-hmm. So he is showing great respect for the First Amendment rights of someone to hold to their religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. So I was encouraged by his words. Now, as you say, Abe, down the road, they still leave the door open. So just so, because we talked about so many cases, the case of the Bakers, the Kleins in Oregon, the case of Baron L. Stutzman in Washington State. There's also the T-shirt the Christian T-shirt designer in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So I guess to make it clear to our listeners, this decision doesn't necessarily flow over to those other cases. Am I right?
I think you're right, based on what I've read so far. And I'm not all the way through the entirety of the opinion yet, but it doesn't appear that this will automatically flow over, because some of the observations you made, Anthony Kennedy specifically highlighted the Colorado Commission's treatment of Jack Phillips' faith. It should help.
The 7-2 decision sure helps. I mean, it can't hurt, can it?
Well, no,
I'm talking about if these other cases that Fred just mentioned, we can't name them all, who are in similar situations as Jack Phillips. They're in various professions, most of them related to the wedding industry.
Mm-hmm.
If they take their case back up now, you know, and they say, "Hey, Jack Phillips won his.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we have the same principle apply to our situation?" It may. It can't hurt.
It may. And in the quote that Fred just read, Anthony Kennedy was specific to highlight facts similar to these. It would appear that in citing facts similar to these, he's talking about a robust record of demeaning, insulting, and minimizing the authenticity of Jack Phillips' faith. In the other cases, it would be the Kleins, Baron L. Stutzman. So the question could be, in those cases, is there a similar record of the state-level courts displaying, or the state commissions displaying, hostility toward their faith?
And I just want to repeat, too, if this case had gone against Jack Phillips, you'd have the Supreme Court saying that kind of hatred and bigotry towards Christianity from the government is okay.
Yep.
That would have been a terrible decision for us.
All right. Yes. Thank you, Abe. Appreciate it. You're going to be delving more into the...
Yes, I'm going to dissect this for this evening and have a full analysis of this opinion by the time we
Hamilton Corner.
Yes, sir.
Hamilton Corner Radio Show with Abraham Hamilton III this afternoon, weekdays 5:05 to 6 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Abe serves as our public policy analyst here at American Family Association. He is a constitutional lawyer himself. So whereas most of us don't want to read all these long court decisions, Abe loves that stuff. Huh?
Yeah, who sits down after supper and says, "I think I'm going to read the latest Supreme Court ruling"?
Yeah, most of us don't do that. But Thank the Lord Abe does, because Abe's one smart dude, as they say, and he's a constitutional expert. Well, the good news, 7-2 decision today. We've been talking about it in favor of Jack Phillips, the Colorado baker, who said he could not make a wedding cake for two homosexual men that violated his Christian convictions. And the Supreme Court said, we side with Jack Phillips today. So this is a great day for religious freedom. We praise the Lord for this decision, and we thank the Alliance Defending Freedom lawyers.
Absolutely.
Tim with Ed and Walker. And where can people read about what we've been talking about?
You got some good stuff. We got up on onenewsnow.com. Okay. We've got a short summary of it. We're going to link to the complete decision. Readers, listeners out there, if you want to read the complete decision for yourself, going to have a link in the story on that. And also, we'll be interviewing someone from the Alliance Defending Freedom on this. I do have a statement from the ADF that I can read for you right now. They are the lawyers that defended Jack Phillips. Jack serves all customers. He simply declines to express messages or celebrate events that violate his deeply held beliefs. Creative professionals who serve all people should be free to create art consistent with their convictions without the threat of government punishment. Government hostility toward people of faith has no place in our society. Yet the state of Colorado was openly antagonistic toward Jack's religious beliefs about marriage. The court was right to condemn that. Tolerance and respect for good faith differences of opinion are essential in a society like ours. This decision makes clear that the government must respect Jack's beliefs about marriage.
Amen.
Yeah. There's other news.
All right. What else? What else you got?
And the other news is a Supreme Court decision probably that will not make headlines today. Nevertheless, the headline that we got from the AP a few moments ago, High Court sides with Trump administration in pregnant teen case. Now, what this involves is a teenager who crossed the border illegally and then was immediately taken into the arms of the ACLU, the American Society of
American Civil Liberties.
One of our reporters calls them not a clue. But
not a clue.
But anyway, she wanted an abortion. And the ACLU immediately went to court right away and didn't give the Trump administration time. Soon as they got an initial decision, she had her abortion. And so here, the Supreme Court is siding with the Trump administration over the ACLU in the case of a pregnant illegal immigrant teen who was able to obtain an abortion after filing a lawsuit. After months of inaction on the case, the court Monday vacated a lower court decision favoring the teen who was held in government custody after illegally entering the country. The justices ruled that it was the proper course because the case became moot after the teen obtained an abortion. Government lawyers had complained that the ACL lawyers didn't alert them that the teen's abortion would take place earlier than expected. The administration said that deprived its lawyers of the chance to ask the Supreme Court to block the procedure, at least temporarily. So this was a case of timing. When they made the ACLU won its initial decision, the teenager went out immediately, had the abortion. The government lawyers didn't have a chance to argue, no, that wasn't right, because of the timing issue on that.
So this was a teenager that essentially crossed the border illegally in order to get an abortion
Yes.
in this country?
Yes.
Okay.
And the ACLU managed to provide a lawyer very quickly. Now, there's with regards to the Supreme Court, we are expecting two other decisions sometime this month. That has to do with DACA and also the president's decision going back several months when he started restricting refugee entrance into this country. That'll be the next one as to whether the president, and as we've heard from many lawyers, the president does have the right to restrict what countries we are getting, how many immigrants we are getting. And that's been fought through these other federal judges, very liberal federal judges, saying he doesn't have a right to do that. Many feel constitutionally the president does have a right to say, for instance, we're going to restrict people coming in from Iran because they are a terror-sponsoring nation, or from Syria, countries, Yemen, those sorts of things. So that court decision, I think, is going to be another key one.
Now, DACA is deferred action for childhood arrivals.
Yes.
So that is an immigration issue. This other is a refugee
yes.
issue.
Yes. Remember, in the DACA case, it was an executive order from President Barack Obama. So that's an important case with regards to the power of a president to issue an executive order. And then the courts appear to have been saying in lower court rulings, the executive order is like a law. And so the lower courts, some of these federal judges, these activist judges, have been treating an executive order like a law that's been passed by Congress.
Yeah, they were saying that President Trump did not have the right, to issue his own executive order.
Yes.
Concerning that subject.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So those decisions also expected this month. So it's going to be a busy month, a critical month for court decisions.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but the Supreme Court makes their decisions months in advance of the announcement of
yes.
the decision. So, for example, the Jack Phillips case, which we were celebrating 7-2 a few minutes ago, that was probably decided, back in the winter sometime.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they wait, they hold, and then the Supreme Court I'm talking about, and then they'll announce decisions, I guess, for the next few days, mm-hmm. and they'll just unload 5 or 10 decisions a day mm-hmm. that they have put out to the public. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed, Walker, and Fred. We thank you for listening to AFR. Breaking news we had just a few moments ago. Fred was telling us about the Supreme Court 7-2 decision in favor of Jack Phillips. Jack is the Colorado baker who said that he could not make a wedding cake for two gay men. And when he said that, he said, I can sell him a cake off my shelf. I don't check people's sexual orientation or identity when they buy a cupcake from me. I just simply can't be hired to make a wedding cake. Mm. And besides that, you can get it made at 100 other bakeries
right
here in in Colorado. Well, that wasn't good enough for these two homosexual men. They wanted to drive him out of business. And they used the Colorado Commission, Civil Rights Commission. Is that mm-hmm. what it was?
Yes.
To try to accomplish their goal. Well, the Supreme Court today, in their decision, said that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission went too far, and they were hostile to Jack Phillips and his Christian beliefs, and so they sided with him, 7-2. That is a big, big deal, mm-hmm. and we celebrate that. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues. I tell you what, let's take our break. Take our break right here, and when we get back, we'll have more of what's going on in the news. Well, what's the next? Tease us with our next story, Fred.
Congress is back in business, and I use that phrase
lightly.
Yes. But they've got some important items on their docket, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
Okay, and is Kim Jong-un coming to the U.S. to meet with President Trump or not?
I'm going to get together in Singapore.
Next week.
Next week, it's
A week from tomorrow.
Are we paying for his hotel?
I hope not. That's going to be embarrassing.
That's what he wants, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's been asking us to pay for his hotel.
Hey, can you let me borrow some money? I'll pay you back.
I want a trip to the buffet included.
I'll be back.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
We're in the financial business. We manage a couple of trusts and some estates and, of course, our own monies, too.
Courtney Trotter talks about the charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
I understand annuities about as much as anyone, I guess, can. So I just felt the charitable gift annuity was a win-win situation for many people that still are generating income and still have assets. because you never know when you may have to draw down on something like that. And if you don't ever have to, then it's even a better gift to get to a really good foundation like AFA, a very solid investment, a good way to help do the Lord's work, and it's there to help us as well.
Find out if the charitable gift annuity can work for you by calling the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Lair Realty in Chelmsford, Massachusetts loves America. They also love our military. And from Memorial Day until the 4th of July, staffers have posted 200 small American flags on the front lawn of the business. But the other day, one of the realtors found a note posted on the door. It was a notice from the town's code enforcement officer. The real estate company had been slapped with a violation for having too many flags. They say Lair Realty is free to post a reasonable number of flags, but they could not settle on an appropriate number. The owner of the company decided the best response to the excessive flag violation was to add even more flags. So instead of 200 American flags, there are now 500 American flags posted on the front yard. And the company's willing to pay whatever fine is levied. By the way, for future reference, the elected leaders in Chelmsford should know you can never have too many American flags. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. The name of this program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to watch the show, you can go to Facebook and just type in Today's Issues live stream or YouTube as well. YouTube, we're live video streaming the show on YouTube. So check that out. You're listening to American Family Radio. We're here throughout the day providing you with news, information, Bible teaching, analysis of world and domestic events from a Christian perspective. So we're trying to do our best to make you good citizens. We want to be good citizens of heaven, but we also need to be good citizens of earth. What's the old saying? You so heavenly minded, you know, earthly good. Remember right. That expression here. It's great to be heavenly minded, but we need to be earthly good as well. Otherwise, why did God put us here, right?
Why does He keep us here?
Why did He put us here, and why did He keep us here if we're just supposed to sit on top of a mountain, waiting on heaven to come down.
Right.
I did that 3 times.
and heaven, apparently it did.
Heaven never came down, but the bills still came in. So anyway.
And you got hungry. And
I got hungry.
Somebody had to cook a meal. And funny how all that stuff can become important.
All right. Anyway, if you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Fred Jackson, what's next in the news?
This is day 500 for the President Trump presidency. He's been on the job for 500 days. And depending on what side of the political fence you're on, if you're a supporter of President Trump, you think he's done a pretty good job. The economy is cooking. The lowest unemployment rates that we have seen in years and years and years. Across the racial lines, even. Black unemployment, the lowest, I think, since 1969.
Really?
In this country.
Right.
Yeah.
Came out last week.
Yeah.
With the job numbers.
Just absolutely.
But now, are black civil rights leaders congratulating President Trump?
Oh, you know it, Tim. they're all over
You go
that.
Ahead and Google that right now. Jesse Jackson, a few others like that. You won't find that.
Because they care about the black community first and foremost.
Right. That's right. And Nancy Pelosi still thinks that's all crumbs.
Yes.
And they're going to go to the people this fall and say things are terrible.
Well, they're campaigning on repealing tax cuts. Good luck with that one.
I do think that they are scared, that is the Democrats, they are scared of losing support in the black community, even 10%.
Oh, yeah.
If the black community, drops to, say, an 80-20 Democrat over a Republican, that's not good for the Democrats. They need 90-10.
Right.
What I'm saying is this good economic news, which is, as you say, Fred, for all Americans, it is also for African Americans. You say this is the lowest unemployment rate in how long?
I think it's been since 1969 is the figure that I think came out last week. For Hispanics, extremely low. Across the board, everybody is benefiting.
And wages are rising.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So what do you, if you're the Democrats, how do we spin this bad?
Well, I just say, you just say, listen, do you want to listen to, Trump tweet for another, and Republicans and.
I don't care if you do got a better job.
Yeah. What else can you say?
Huh? I don't care if you do have a better job, you still need to be mad.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and the thing with Nancy Pelosi, too, saying that only 1% of the population has really benefited from this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's factually untrue.
That's just not going to sell.
No. Anyway, this morning, presidential advisor Kellyanne Conway was on Fox News talking about the president's first 500 days in office. Cut two.
I'll look at these jobs numbers. What I think people weren't ready for with respect to President Obama was Obamacare that has left 30 million Americans without health care. They couldn't keep their plans. They couldn't keep their doctors. This president has turned the poor economic jobs and growth numbers around from the last administration. He inherited an economic mess, and now we have, for only the seventh time since 1970, we have an unemployment rate this low. It is below 4%. It is extraordinary. And by the way, let's just run through a couple of those numbers that President Obama and President Clinton, but particularly President Obama, could never claim. Over 300,000 new manufacturing jobs, over 300,000 new construction jobs, job upticks in mining, job upticks in timber. We have fewer regulations, more optimism, an economy that's absolutely booming, and frankly, more respect on the world stage. The last president was given the Nobel Peace Prize. This president may actually earn it.
Walker?
Well, it is a miracle, and I say that lightly. I'm not talking about a divine miracle, but in a worldly sense, it is a miracle that President Trump has been able to get done what he has gotten done, even legislatively, with talking about tax cuts and VA reform and things like that, with this lousy Congress that we have. And I talked about it on my show this past week. I'm going to talk about it again this week. But they don't work at all, hardly. They work 2.5 days a week on a good week. That's working overtime. Last week, they didn't work at all. The House is not even back in session today. The Senate just got back into town, but they don't start till tonight, and they're not going to go in tonight. They're going to start tomorrow morning, Thursday afternoon. They're on their flights using our tax dollars, headed home for a four-day weekend. But they don't work at all, and they really get by with this. The media does not cover this. The Congress doesn't work. President Trump has all these agenda items that he wants done, rightfully so. He needs his wall. We still need Obamacare fully repealed. That's not done yet. So all these things that need to be done, we have Republicans leading Congress, and they're nowhere to be found. So kudos to President Trump and the administration for all that they're doing, the creative ways they're trying to get things done. Republicans have sorely let the American people down.
Well, but the Republican Congress is benefiting from President Trump. Now, the congressman would say, yeah, but we're the ones who passed the tax cuts. Well, right. True, but President Trump was the one who initiated them and got them to be a big ticket agenda item during the election. But, I was reading an article here too. You know, typically during the midterm election, whatever party the sitting president represents loses members. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is history. You remember when President Obama was elected in 08? Well, in 2010, the Republicans won the House in a stunning historical landslide. The Tea Party movement, remember that? Mm-hmm. So typically, during the first term of a president, his party loses because people, for whatever reason, they get his supporters don't come out as much as his detractors do. Mm. That is history. Well, people have suggested, you know, maybe it'll be a, quote, blue wave. By blue, I mean Democrat wave across the country in the fall in reaction to President Trump, you know, in a disfavorable way by Democrats. Well, I'm reading now where the Democrats got their own problems. They, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and that's what President Trump calls him, crying Chuck Schumer, and they're in disarray. You may say, well, the Republicans are too. Well, maybe that's true in some respects. If you're talking about the Congress, Paul Ryan is leaving, right, for example. Mitch McConnell Mitch McConnell is loved by 1.5% of the Republicans across America. But the Democrats got their own problems. They got their own fundraising problems.
Well, let me give you an example here. Yeah. You know, Maxine Waters, one of our favorite Democrats from California, Congresswoman. Yeah. She's, you know, well known for saying all kinds of outlandish things. But, of course, she's running for re-election since she's a House member. And she had this big pitch to get millennials to come out to her speech. And only 10 showed up to a campaign event.
Wow. Like 7, 8, 9, 10?
Yes, 10. It was this big, please join us for the Auntie Maxine meet and greet tweet-a-thon. And wanted all these to come, and only 10 showed up. So I don't know how your heart doesn't sink when you come out on stage expecting some raucous applause, and there's 10 people out there, all of them checking their phones, I'm sure, you know, millennials, 10 of them.
We've over-ordered on the hors d'oeuvres.
Leftovers.
No, really, take all this finger food home,
yes,
please.
Right. I can't eat all this. You young people.
You know, I have to – behind the scenes, the Democrats, I know, are concerned. And there have been some Democrats have been honest enough in interviews that they've got a real problem. Nancy Pelosi is a problem for them. Just throw away your Democrat-Republican cards for a moment. Nancy Pelosi is a problem. Another example – Donald Trump, President Trump goes out there and goes after MS-13 gang members. These are horrible people. Mm-hmm. They rape and they murder these people, these MS-13. But Nancy Pelosi responds to the president going after MS-13 gang members, upset because he called them animals. Well, I think if you were to poll most Americans, those between New York and Los Angeles, they would agree with the president.
Mm.
And the president pointed out, by the way, one of the MS-13 leaders is known as Animal. Mm-hmm. They call him that.
May I suggest that's an insult to animals?
Huh? Yes.
These MS-13 gang members are they practice the tactics of ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it, in drug, they traffic in drugs and, I guess, prostitution and other things. They are, I don't know.
Well, they terrorize communities.
Oh, yeah.
Like Long
Island. Are they Mexican?
I think they're El Salvador. I think there are Mexicans.
Central American.
But I think it's an El Salvadoran group originally.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're drug. And
ruthless.
Prostitution. And
they're ruthless. One of the initiations was to kill somebody.
Right. Oh, yeah. So our government agents, law enforcement agents, and others have been fighting these folks and trying to control their reach. So President Trump referred to them as animals, and Nancy Pelosi. That shows you so she objected to him calling them animals.
Mm. Yes.
In what way did she say?
She said that was offensive.
The whole media, for the large part, and all the Democrats went to bat for MS-13 and basically trying to, you know, we need to have respect for MS-13 and you know.
Well, initially what happened was, and the Bleeding Heart left wing media had to withdraw their initial stories because they said he was referring to all immigrants as animals. Well, that was simply not true.
Right.
Well, here's an example of when we talk about how evil this group is. This is from Fox News. It says, last year, two gang members in Texas, MS-13, reportedly murdered a teenage girl as an offering to Satan. According to prosecutors, the gang leader, known as Diabolico, told the young girl that the beast wanted a soul before having his partner shoot her in the head and dump her body on a street corner. As charges were read against the two, the Houston Chronicle reported they laughed, smiled, and waved for the media cameras.
Yeah.
MS-13 gang members, police have said, also stabbed a Maryland man more than 100 times before cutting off his heart, his head, and cutting out his heart.
So for
Democrats to even be in 100 miles of appearing like you're defending this group,
right?
That's going to cost them in 2018. I don't know who's in charge of their strategy.
Let me tell you what they're trying to do here. Best I can figure it out. Why would you say, if you're Nancy Pelosi, I'm offended at President Trump calling a MS-13 animals? What you're trying to do is you're trying to play the race card. Hmm. That's the reason you would say that. You would say, she's trying to desperately project on the president racial animus because the MS-13 are Hispanic.
Right. No, yeah, you're exactly right. That's what she's doing.
Yeah, that's what she's doing. She's trying to say, how dare you call MS-13 animals? They are people like us who have needs and desires and wants.
And if they only had a job.
If they only had a job, they wouldn't be cutting people's heads off.
Mm-hmm.
So how dare you, President Trump, try to drive a wedge between MS-13 and Americans. And
in what universe is that a winning strategy for the Democrats?
Well, because Nancy Pelosi is whacked.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I'm sorry. The Democrats, those who are sane, they need to go tell her she's out. Have a retirement party, whatever. Get Jack Phillips to make her a cake. I don't know. I don't know what you need to do, but they need to send her home.
Yeah.
Okay. She can hardly say sentences coherently anymore. Have you heard her?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody knows this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there comes a time when you need to say so long and let somebody else take your place so that they can do a more effective job than you're doing. But Nancy Pelosi, just, I guess nobody around her is willing to tell her, you know, your time has passed.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And Chuck Schumer is about the same way. And they need some new blood. Far be it from me to look out for the best interests of the Democratic Party. I don't care about their survival. I'm just saying, looking at it objectively, you have to say they need some new blood. Same can be said of the Republicans, to some extent here, but certainly on the Democrat side, Schumer, Pelosi, they need some new faces and some new ideas and some new people to represent them.
There are rumors that Joe Biden is going to take another shot at running for president in 2020, and who knows if Hillary Clinton might. Can you imagine Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and Hillary Clinton trying to get the Democratic nomination in 2020?
Mm-mm.
Running versus Trump?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That would be excellent.
I mean, talk about needing new blood.
You know, the thing about the Democrats, though, is there's not really any good options. I mean, if you're kind of your middle ground American, you have, so let's just say Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer retire. Then you have Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, you know, coming in under, or somebody like them, because they're both senators, but you get the point. They're farther left than Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. They're like a Bernie Sanders.
Yes. Right.
And so, you know, then they're going to lose. You're going to lose your middle ground America.
Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats are in a bad position.
They're like Bernie Sanders, except Bernie Sanders at least sometimes has a filter on what he says.
They don't.
Those two would say things, I think, that would get them in trouble.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed Walker and Fred. What's next, Fred?
For some reason, former President Bill Clinton has been out giving interviews this weekend. And, well, one of the things, he was asked questions about Monica Lewinsky and the Me Too movement. So let's have a listen to Craig Melvin on today's show interviewing Bill Clinton and asking him about the Me Too movement in connection with his involvement, Bill Clinton's involvement with Monica Lewinsky. Cut one.
In 2018, with everything that's going on with the Me Too movement, how would you have approached the accusations differently?
Well, I don't think it would be an issue because people would be using the facts instead of the imagined facts. If the facts were the same today, I wouldn't. You're asking, well, don't we have a right to change the rules? Yes, but you don't have a right to change the facts. So a lot of the facts have been conveniently omitted to make the story work. But I think partly because they're frustrated that they got all these serious allegations against the current occupant of the Oval Office, and his voters don't seem to care. I think I did the right thing. I defended the Constitution.
He defended the Constitution.
Wasn't it nice to hear his voice again?
I lied under oath, and I defended the Constitution.
Now, there may be some people listening who don't know what we're talking about, but Bill Clinton, okay, this is the husband for Hillary Clinton. He was in office for two terms, yes, in the 1990s, 1992, won re-election in 96, and finished up in 2000. George Bush followed him. Mm-hmm. But while in office, he had a sexual affair with an intern, Monica Lewinsky. Yes. And at first denied it. Evidence was, without being gross, evidence was brought forth to prove. And he lied under oath in saying he did not have sex with Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office. So, to the credit of the NBC interviewer who actually brought this up, I mean, that is courageous to bring up the Me Too movement. He's asking, was it a man or a woman asking?
It was a male.
The male, that's right. Mm. We just heard the recording. And so he's saying, in light of the Me Too movement, what do you think would have happened in your case with Monica Lewinsky? Because it's all about not only sexual assault, but sexual harassment.
An authority figure. With a very young lady.
Right.
And there's no, I don't think there's any American out there that doesn't believe it actually happened. It happened.
Oh, with the Lewinsky thing?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, and thank God she didn't dry clean a blue dress.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was definitive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In this case. And there is a reason why there was an impeachment vote in all of this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Bill Clinton was guilty. I mean, who can forget his statements? It depends on what you mean by the word.
What the definition of is.
The word is.
Right.
You know, it was Bill Clinton, former Arkansas governor, doing what Bill Clinton has done for years.
Well, and don't give me the whole defending the Constitution. You having an affair in the Oval Office has nothing to do with the Constitution. It's probably actually a stain on the Constitution.
Yes.
So I don't know where he pulled that from. Maybe that's like PR 101.
He probably was not expecting a question like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was
from a friendly media source. Yeah,
from a friendly
and don't try to act like President Trump's situation is the same as yours.
Yes.
No, President Trump is facing accusations from 10, 15 years ago and from people who are sometimes discredited.
The left in this country only care about the Me Too movement if it's, let me take that back. For decades, the left has only cared about sexual harassment if it were conservatives doing it against liberal women.
Mm-hmm.
If it's liberal men doing it against others, conservative women or liberal women, it doesn't count. Thus, the situation with Bill Clinton when he was in the White House, you remember the Democrats when he had his impeachment hearing, and you couldn't get the epitome of male chauvinism, is a president with the power that he has, a male president, and then having an affair with a intern. The lowest.
Right. She's like 20-something.
The lowest on the rung.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So What the feminists also talk about is as much as they do sexuality, sexual aggression men towards women, is the power gap.
Yes.
That men use to subject women to do things sexually, and that's what you know. Bill, that was just a case study of that. Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, and it just stunned. The feminists were just silent because they. Here's their man who supports abortion on demand, you know, committing this vile sin against feminism. Well, and we got nothing to say here.
And you remember during this Clinton Lewinsky scandal, the left, including a lot of feminists, said, "Listen, this was consensual sex. Mm. It's only sex. It's got nothing to do with the real issues." And then when it was proven that the president, President Clinton, had lied under oath about whether he had had sex, then they said, well, it's just a lie about sex. Remember, they kept moving the goalposts and said, well, it's consensual sex. That was the first offense. Then it's only sex. It really doesn't matter. Even though it was, like you said, a president with an intern talk about sexual harassment. And then it was just lying about sex. Right. And add to that Hollywood and the rest of the revolutionaries of the sexual revolution who haven't minded at all the objectification of women for decades. Mm-hmm. Pornography, you know, letting there be sex on television, objectifying women, and now all of a sudden...
They're all Me Too.
Yes, proponents. They're all Me Too. Mm-hmm. And I'm not excusing the Harvey Weinsteins and those people who clearly have in some cases... broken the law or abused their position and harassed women, and women do not deserve that. I'm talking about the fact that the left hasn't seemed to mind all this until now.
Yeah. All of a sudden. It's amazing.
All right. What do you got? You got anything left for us, Fred? You got some good news, Fred?
Good news? Sure.
Judge. Good news.
Well, we started with a court decision.
We did.
Yeah, let's go back.
Good news.
A federal court has ruled that printing "In God We Trust" on U.S. currency doesn't amount to a religious endorsement and therefore doesn't violate the U.S. Constitution. And this is out of Chicago. The Chicago Daily Law Bulletin reported that the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago made the ruling in a lawsuit brought by a self-declared Satanist, Kenneth Mail. He argued that the motto propagates a religious view he opposes. It's kind of an interesting case because there are other court cases that have come up and are pending with regards, for instance, to a state that wants to put "In God We Trust" on license tags, that kind of thing. So it's a key case. It's funny, the story just came out this morning, but the ruling actually was done last Thursday and got shuffled aside.
Hmm.
So another key ruling. The lower court had tossed the suit, citing a Supreme Court decision that a motto on currency isn't something people display prominently, and thus that people are not forced to publicly advertise views that clash with their own. Mail appeared to appeal to restore the suit, but the Seventh Circuit Court refused, describing the phrase as an historical reminder of the nation's heritage. So that statement alone from the Seventh Circuit could also be used, I think, in these other cases that are pending.
Well, in 2018, I'm really kind of shocked that we're looking at this as good news.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this should be a no-brainer. This is the kind of thing that these kind of cases should be thrown out as frivolous. Mm-hmm. Look, this is established. This is the national motto. Don't waste the court's time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But in 2018, we're having to go to court to fight for these basic rights.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. And when we come back, more great stuff happening. Some of it not so great, but you won't want to miss it. 5 minutes, we'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.